Kind of forget the routine here. I got to turn this thing on, lay everything out, get ready, ready, ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
I was feeling very much like this is going to be just like a celebration Sunday. We have many things to celebrate, don't we? It's like God is so good. You know, we talk about it's not going to be a president. No man is going to end up saving our nation or bringing things back around. It's in God's hands by His will. But He uses men and women. And we're so excited for what has just transpired, aren't we? By the grace of God, Donald Trump will keep America great. My wife said, "You're not really going to wear that, right? This has been such a beautiful day and your hair looks good." It's like, well, okay. Should I wear the hat? God has spoken, my dear. You know, I've just been reflecting on, I remember getting up here in the very beginning of 24 and said, God's got more for 24. And we've seen so many amazing things happen here at Valley Church in 2024, and it just continues, and it's just been growing and growing, and I'm so excited. I can't believe that there's only 7 Sundays left after this one, and this year is done. 7 more Sundays. Can you believe that? I was like, wow. So I wanted to recap just a little bit, and I wanted to share with some of you that probably don't even know or realize all of what happens at Valley Church and some of the new things for 2024. Some of the things that I'm so excited about right now. In fact, there's three, four. Jamie and Kim Stiefel, would you guys stand up? What an incredible addition this has been just in the last few weeks, and we have already been so blessed. And you know what? I should have asked. It's like, could you just kind of whisper quietly what your daughter's name is? Haley, okay. And her husband? Logan and Haley. Would you guys please stand up? So Jamie has come on staff. He is going to be our executive pastor. And I just want everybody to know, you're going to see him around here a lot. We are so blessed to have this family with us. What an incredible blessing. I couldn't be more excited. And fast-tracked up here helping lead worship this morning. Was that not beautiful and awesome? And let's just give another hand to the worship team. That was so powerful this morning. It's like really excited about that. And everybody knows who's been bringing the word for the last almost 2 months. Jonah Coyne, is that not just been so blessed and anointed? Like his preaching, oh my goodness. I just sit over there and find myself just chuckling because I'm so blessed by the words coming out his mouth, the anointing that young man carries. Like, we are blessed. And Miss Patricia Hughes came on staff. So we have had some wonderful additions, especially the second half of this year. It's like, praise God. But some of the things that we're doing that I want to talk just a little bit about, And then I'm going to jump into some scriptures and do a little bit of preaching, but I just want to talk a little bit first. You okay with that?
Yeah.
I got the red hat, so. You know, some of the ministries that we do and that we have are not at the forefront, so people don't even necessarily realize that we're doing it. And we have inner healing, breakthrough, inner healing, whatever you want to call it, which is an incredible ministry that's been happening, and it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it requires appointments for that, because it takes a lot of times a couple hours, and an appointment lasts two and a half hours, and I've seen them last longer. I've seen them there into the evening. But healing rooms, and one of Rick LeBrun, when Rick was here, he helped bring and create a flow for that and a strategy and an organization that worked really well. You know, everybody knows, because you see the Sunday morning prayer team that's up here, right? We all see them. We get to experience that. Well, when you come to the front for prayer, there's been so many healings that happen. There's been deliverances, people set free, all kinds of amazing things that happen around this altar. But that prayer team then recognizes and will even sometimes suggest to you, you know, it would be really good for you to end up going to healing rooms, which takes place on Monday evenings. And Monday evenings from 6:30, people start signing up, and I've seen them leaving at 11 o'clock at night before, because like 25 people showed up for prayer, and the team just, they stuck it out and they prayed with each and every one of them. So it's incredible that that's happening on Mondays. So we have something happening here pretty much every day except Fridays. And I believe that we're going to end up having some things happening on Fridays, Friday nights here in the near future. So, but I've asked a couple people, like Lori, would you come up here first, just to share a little bit about healing rooms, Monday night healing rooms, and some of the incredible things I get to hear about these things. So grateful for Lori and the role that she has and what she does, and the fruit that's produced from that. Now, everybody knows who Pastor Matthew is, and everybody loves Pastor Matthew, right? Let's just express our appreciation. That's one of the things that Pastor Matthew, he's oversight of healing rooms, inner healing, and prayer team. So Pastor Matthew, it's like this is some of his ministry. He could be up here too, but then we would never get out if we had three or four of us up here trying to preach and share. But I called and spoke with her and said, you know, would you just share some of the, so she's not going to end up sharing names. She's just going to share some of the breakthroughs, some of the things that have happened in healing rooms. So a warm welcome for Lori. Oh, you need this. Want me to hold it?
Hi, church family.
You're running from the microphone. Can you not see? Do I need to stand on the other side? Okay. Now you're running the other way.
So we've had several testimonies in healing rooms. We had a man who had years of constant pain and with degenerative disc disease. And he came in for healing rooms and felt significant level of breakthrough. But then we had a praise report. He called in and let us know that the next morning he woke up completely pain-free.
And these are the recent ones. I mean, they have a string. They have files in there of incredible things that have happened. But I just wanted the rest of us to hear a little bit about that, because most of us, you don't get to hear about it, so.
Yeah, and actually, he went to the doctors, and they did testing on him and said that he shows no sign of degeneration any longer. So, yeah. And then we had two families come in that were on the brink of divorce. It was like one right after the other. It was weird they happened so close together. But both parties in the marriage were at the point where they were just like, we can't do this anymore. This is it. And we were able to pray with them. And the first couple just pretty much needed a heightened level of forgiveness. And the second couple, we were able to break off a lot of word curses and break off lies from the enemy they were believing. And insecurities came off. And hearts were healed, and the unconditional love of God caused suddenlies, and both of these marriages were completely turned around.
Yeah. Now, isn't that awesome, that not only is there physical healing, degenerative disc disease, but healed marriages? Because healed people end up living out healed marriages. Mm-hmm.
We had a lady come in who was stuck in her home for about 2 years. She said she was in fear, and so she just didn't come out. She didn't speak to anybody. We were able to pour love into her and cast out fear, and her countenance just completely changed. She said that she never felt this kind of peace come over her before. She'd never experienced it before. So that was a breakthrough.
I think that means she's done. Well, let's again just let her know how much we appreciate her. A little hug. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're amazing. Clint, are you here? Oh, would you run up here? That's not running. That's not running. At least walk fast. At least walk fast. That's better. That's better. I just want a really short version. You know, it was like healing rooms probably close to a year ago, 8-9 months ago, or a year ago.
A little over a year.
A little over a year ago. That
just took it a minute to soak in.
A little over a year ago. A little over a year ago that he came to healing rooms, and the things that he has shared and the people that he has recommended healing rooms to, it's been pretty amazing. It's quite a string of people. You want to share for about 30 seconds what God has done, not just healing rooms, but your...
Yeah. Well, my life is a whole different existence than I've lived for the last 64 years. I have peace in my heart, and I look forward to being around God and God's people, and I'm happy. And to warn the prayer team, I recruited somebody else a couple days ago. They'll be here tomorrow night. A stroke victim and his wife that has pretty much had it with how things are in their life. So be praying for him ahead of time, and thank you all for what you did for me.
One of the things that you, I assume, I've never actually directly asked you this, so this might be a little dangerous, but PTSD is something that you struggled with ever since you got out of the Marine Corps, and that was part, I am assuming, of some of the healing that came from the healing rooms?
Oh, completely. I mean, when I got to the healing room, you know, I wrote on my sheet of paper, my name was Clint, and I needed some mental healing, and... Donna, Lorraine, and Kissing Dave. They read my mail. I mean, I had a big need to forgive my father for some of the trauma and drama I lived through as a child. And they had no idea that I was Betty's boy, Lynn's cousin, any of that. And Donna says, did you serve in the military? Yeah, I was a Marine. Which, incidentally, if there are any other of my brothers or sisters here, happy birthday to us. 249 years, we're older than the country. But, well, make a long story short, April 24th, 1980, I was in Marine Corps Helicopter Squadron 165, and we were chosen to fly the mission into Iran after the hostages. And I had to make a head call on my way to the bird I was assigned to. We were on spot one. Consequently, I was 45 seconds to a minute late getting there. The bird on spot two took off first. Three of my brothers died that day. And I wasn't late for anything for 45 years after that. I mean, I carried horrible survivor guilt and I stayed drunk, stoned for 45 years. And that didn't do anything but just put it off for another day. But, you know, God has completely delivered me. Now I get here when I get here. And just praising for it every day.
Thank you. And he's a VSSM student this year, too. Brother Fish, Tim Fish. I will definitely hold the microphone in case I need to jerk it away.
I think that it's a compliment.
That is an absolute compliment because of how much he has to say, because of the amazing and incredible things that are happening in his ministry and in his home, the group that is men's group. So he's got much, much to say. So I'm just going to have to be the monitor. Ready, set, go.
When we first came to this church, Lynn got up here and said, you know, we're all called to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons and cleanse lepers. Does anybody remember? Okay. But the heal the sick is not just physically sick. I just want to read this real quick. It's, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus declares that, and he uses us. So I just wanted to share two experiences. One of them, we had a lady come to us, and you've just fallen in love with these people because they're just wonderful saints. And she had fear, really, really bad. Fear had dominated her life since she was a young person. And we found out that her parents divorced when she was young, and it was like put on her somehow. She just felt like she was the reason why her parents divorced. And that created great fear in her because mom went this way and dad went that way. And then there was a trauma involved there. And so she lived with this all of her life. Well, now she's married. She's middle-aged, and she comes to Bev and I, and we do inner healing. We do what the Lord had taught us to do. And then we see her at church, and she's jumping for joy. She goes, I have joy in the Lord now. And hallelujah. Amen. And then recently we had a young man come to us, and he had several things, generational curses. He had ungodly soul ties. And so we led him to break those because, you know, you have authority to break curses. And we did some deliverance, and I saw something I've never seen before. This guy, after all of that was over with, had the joy of the Lord smacked him so hard, he starts jumping up and down, and I had to go jump up and down with him because I don't want to, I mean, let's praise God together. And this guy is a transformed person. He's not the same person. And it's because hope deferred makes the heart sick. Okay? But Jesus has everything for mental illness, for depression, for dementia, for Alzheimer's, for trauma. Clint talked about post-traumatic stress disorder. That's trauma. For fear, fear's a big one. If you've got fear, come and see us. We'll help you send fear packing. And you can have joy like a river.
So good. You know, I was thinking about one thing. We all got invited to some lady's house.
Right, Janet.
Well, yeah. Did you want to talk a little about that one? Because that was or did you already? That wasn't one of, it was amazing. This lady, at which we got invited because, not because we had anything to do with it, other than because we're the pastors of the church. So they invited Renee and I to go too. And the lady wanted to meet us. So you took us over there. And I just remember her saying, if I would have known about this before, they had just purchased a house to get close to Bethel so they could end up going through inner healing at Bethel. And so they're there now because they already purchased. But she said, that's available here if I would have only known. That's the only part I remember.
Well, Bev and I went to see that movie by Mike Signorella and the Jesus Slayers over, I don't know where it was. So we're watching this movie, and Janet's sitting next to Bev. We get done with the movie. She goes, I wish there was a church around in the Treasure Valley where I could get some inner healing and some deliverance. And Bev goes, well, we do that. So she makes an appointment, and she comes in, and honestly, I don't remember all that she had, but after that, she started coming to our church, and she just was up here dancing. She had joy, and all the garbage got taken out to the curb, right? They moved to Reading. Her husband books a flight and flies up here.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. And I said, why aren't you going to the healing rooms at Bethel? And he says, according to my wife, what you guys are doing here is the next level. So again, if you guys have a problem with your car, what do? You take it down and have the mechanic check it out, right? This is just like that. God's given us tools. If you have depression, if your wife says to you, you're depressed, or if your husband says to you, wives, you're depressed, come in and allow us to be used by God. There's no shame. We will never guilt you. We will never shame you. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Right, Linda? We don't do that. We just facilitate. We walk alongside of you as the Lord just zaps you with all of his wonderful stuff to get you cleaned up, and then you can have your joy back.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We have one more testimony that I'm going to save for a little bit, because that will precede. It's like Pastor Matthew just kind of messed things up a little bit when he got up here and started talking about all of that worship and the humbling and stuff. That's like half of my scriptures. It's like unbelievable. I'm just saying that. I was like, Matthew. It's like, so you're going to hear it again. You're going to hear it again. Some of it again. And then Tim gets up here and says, heal the sick, raise the dead. So we're going to start with, I forgot to give my list up there. So 1 Corinthians 4:20. Are you quick? Oh, yeah. Linda. What translation? New King James. Oh, yes. I won't have to be scrambling to find these. Would you all like to read that with me? 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It is what? Power. The kingdom of God is not in word. It's not just words. It's not just preaching. It's not just teaching, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in
power.
In power. I'd like to turn next to Matthew 10:7-8, which Tim was just referring to. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what is the kingdom of heaven? Somebody was paying attention. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom of heaven is the power of God working through those who say yes. Okay? So, and what are we instructed to do? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. I was just thinking about Valley Church and the things that we have been doing for quite a while, but have increased in intensity in the last almost 2 years about the cast out demon things. You know, it seems that as the presence of God, when Jesus entered the scene, when he showed up somewhere, demons began to manifest. Over the last couple of years, we have seen more and more demonic manifestations. We encounter it at the altar. We started dealing with it at the altar. We ended up undergoing a little more training, and a lot of it is dealt with in one of the other rooms, but it's also taken care of right here. Sometimes it's quick, it's easy, it's done, because the power of God manifests and the demons go away. It's like, you're talking about that from the pulpit? It's like, yeah, because Jesus talked about it quite a bit. And I think somewhere between a quarter and maybe even a third of his ministry was casting out evil spirits. It's nothing to be ashamed of when we have or even have to deal with an evil spirit or a demon, however you want to refer to that. It means that something ended up entering, and all we have to do is get rid of it. It's not that big a deal, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's like, you get something dirty on you, you need to take a shower. Okay, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. We've been healing the sick for a long time. We get to see incredible miracles around here, and those we do end up sharing quite a bit. There's cancer healed. I mean, we've seen several times cancer healed, where Renee, Dina, me, Christy, got to end up experiencing a lump just disappearing from breast cancer. We've had opportunities to see these kind of things. It's like, oh my goodness, God, you are so good. So good, because the kingdom of God is at hand for those that are willing to say yes and pursue. And the power is available to us. Everybody say, it's available to me. Now, do you believe it?
Yes.
All right. The kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, I want to go to Luke 24. How do we operate in that power? Luke 24:49. Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus again says, behold, I send the promise of my Father up on you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with
power
from on high. The kingdom of God is power. Will you be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit has come upon you? Acts 1:8. We're gonna new church. But you shall receive when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And we will be witnesses through his power. And signs and wonders will follow these who believe. So it's not like we're chasing signs and wonders, but they're following us because we believe. Now, Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Let us walk properly. So as we're walking in that power and the authority that he's given to us, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Wow, do you see that? Do you hear that? What do we do if we're going to be, if the kingdom of heaven is at hand and we're going to grab onto that kingdom, we're going to be those witnesses, we're going to see that power flow through us, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like, I think it was Jonah here within the last few weeks preaching, and he said, I think it was him. If it wasn't, it was someone else that I have just recently listened to. And he said, the Holy Spirit has a name. What is his name? And he said, Jesus. It's like, oh, if you will be endued, this is just something to ponder right here, because it's like, huh, one of those aha moments, like, huh. If you will be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, if Jesus had to go so the Holy Spirit would come, would lead us into all truth, would teach us all things that he's heard Jesus say or that Jesus said. And Paul says here in Romans 13, 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like, okay, we're going to be endued with power when endued means wrapped up in, wrapped in power, clothed with power. It's like, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, like putting on the robe, putting Jesus on. Like he says, well, he's in me, I'm in him. So is that a lot different than being endued with power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you? That's kind of a head scratcher, isn't it? Like, huh. When Jonah, I think it was Jonah first said that the other day, it's like, you didn't know about that. I don't know about that, but Jesus is the full embodied manifestations of all of who God is. So if we put on Jesus, we have the Spirit of God, we have the Holy Spirit. So it's like, okay, that's good enough for me. Okay, I want to take a trip to John 15, 15. Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I have made known to you. I want to go to John 14, probably 20, 21. John 14. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Like, so the things that we're learning, that we're learning, and I'm trying to fast track to, is like, we have got to get to know Jesus Christ. We have to keep our eyes on him. We have to keep our focus on him. And we have got to share our time, our words, and our hearts with him. Are you with me? It's like to get to know him, because we know his heart and we know his mind. So no longer does he call us servants or slaves, where he has to tell you everything that you're going to do. Because you know his heart, you know his mind, because you have become intimate with him. I started doing more and more study on that knowing, know and knowledge. And if we had time, maybe we do have to. Let's do that. Let's go to 2 Peter just for a short time. We got a few minutes here. 2 Peter, first chapter. I'm going to read just a few verses from there. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims. Yeah, well, that's 1 Peter. I'm looking at 2 Peter, first verse. Screen. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Now that's not, I looked at that in the Greek. There's about four different translations for knowing and for knowledge that you start digging up. If you go into the Greek, like, holy smoke. So knowledge is not just knowing about. It is knowing with uncertainty who he is. It is becoming intimate with him, so you know his thoughts, you know his mind, and that is the knowledge of God and of Christ our Lord. Are you with me? Knowledge just isn't knowing about. It's not something you get from a book. It's something you get from knowing, from relationship. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowing. Grace and peace are multiplied to you and me in the knowing of Jesus and God. As his divine power has given to us all things that are pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge, through the knowing of. It's like, well, I didn't write these down because I didn't think I was going to have time for it, but the knowing of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that as you know him, you begin to trust him. When you have intimacy with him, then these promises become even more precious, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. How do we become partakers of the divine nature? Through the knowledge of, through the knowing of him. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Here's some steps that we need to take. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. All of these components to get to love. For if these are yours and abound, it's like, in other words, if these are abound, if you got these and you're really working through these and they're surfacing for you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make sure your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never. If you do these things, you will never stumble. The building blocks of true Christianity. So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's like, oh. When we see that to know Jesus is everlasting or eternal life, Scripture says, to know Jesus and to do as we're called to do gives us entrance into the everlasting kingdom, guarantees us entrance into the everlasting kingdom, which begins when? Now. Now. Are you with me? Awesome. Okay, we're going to go back to 14:21 just for a second. Manifest presence to those who love me or those who keep my commands. We switched over to 2 Peter there and went through some of what his expectations in our spiritual growth, character growth along with spiritual growth, right? Okay, then I will manifest myself to them. So we're talking about the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. What is it like when he manifests himself to you? 1990 was the first, my first manifestation, my first knowing of God and realizing that he knew me, that he saw me. In 1990, I went to Mexico in a really difficult time in my life. Some of you have heard this, I've shared it before. And I was on a Thursday night, it was an all Spanish service, I was in Mexico. And it was in the sanctuary was like a huge gazebo with no walls, just a cover so you could be in the shade and out of the rain. But I felt very much compelled to go up to a little, in Vallarta, most of the people are not very tall. A little Mexican guy about this tall, and I'm standing up there, and he walked by, and I needed some inner healing right then. I desperately needed some healing because I felt like there was a big hole in my gut that just wouldn't quit. It wouldn't leave me alone. It was just like, oh. And instantly, when this little guy went by, said something in Spanish and touched my forehead. I had never watched religious TV or anything. I had no idea what even happened other than I found myself on the ground filled with peace and joy, an overwhelming peace and joy, a euphoria that I didn't even know how to explain or what the words would be for that. But I knew that God had absolutely touched me, and I had just experienced an intense presence that was pretty much indescribable, a peace that surpassed understanding. That was 1990. In 1999, so my first 19 years, I'd not known by him. I didn't know him. I didn't have any manifestation experience. Anybody relate to that? Lots of. 1999 was the time when I started really, 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 really digging into worship, understanding worship. I didn't worship like we worship until really just 98, 97, 98, 99. For about 3 years in there, and we had, Renee and I had gone to a conference, and not a spiritual conference, a different kind. And it caused me to really start digging into worship, and what is worship really all about? We're just like singing songs and clapping our hands and stuff, but it's like, no. As I began to grow in that, and my relationship with God, because he was very real to me, and I was hearing his voice on occasion. And he gave me some pretty specific instructions. And those instructions, what I want you to do, we're in the gym over there, by the way. What I want you to do is share a little bit about what worship means to you, and I want you to jump down off that stage, and I want you to start dancing in front of everybody. And it's like, yeah, no, you got the wrong number. It's like, that can't be. So you know me, you know my inner part, you know who I am, and I wouldn't even think of doing that. It's like, I would rather be the one that's sitting back watching and maybe pointing fingers and laughing not somebody that's humiliating myself, making myself look stupid. It's like, so we had this discussion. I can remember Colleen's house, walking around that garage, and what, because I used to live there, and walking around the tree and thinking, no. I said, yeah, I can't do that. And he said, you know what's stopping you? It's like, yeah, I don't want to make a fool of myself. And he said, your pride. I was like, no. It's like, God resists the proud, but pours abundant grace on the humble. And I heard that, and I was just like, oh, I can't do that. Finally, I did it. Pastor Rutson gave me permission to have the microphone. He didn't know what I was going to do, but I got the microphone. I said a few things about worship and what I felt in my heart about worship, and I asked the worship leaders, like, hey, would you please celebrate Jesus right now? And he did, and I jumped down off and kind of closed my eyes so I couldn't see the people that were looking at me. Just opened my eyes to make sure I didn't run into anything, and I'm just like dancing just like doing the whirl and twirl and dancing around. And then I had to start opening my eyes because the whole front of the church loaded up with people that were dancing as well, because it was an incredible breakthrough. When I humbled myself, it created a breakthrough for many, many, many people. And from that point forward, our worship really started changing in 1999. So I want to read some scriptures to go along with that, and then I'm going to call somebody up here, like the worship team. So if you guys want to make your way up here, we're going to do a little bit more worship. So Linda, if you can find for me 2 Samuel 6th chapter, verses 14 and 22. Matthew already said it up here. But I'm going to show you some scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 to 22. Got it? Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So the best way to end up bringing the presence of God in is through worship. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, whatever her name was, Saul's daughter, looked through a window, saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. You know, any time that we are just absolutely blessed and really get into the presence and the church starts moving in that direction, you can count on a religious spirit coming around. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed, let's just move on to where the humbling part. And he's talking to his wife, and he said, and I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you've spoken, by them I will be held in honor. I feel like we're worshiping to an audience of one. You know, when we worship, we can't really be thinking about what he thinks, what she thinks. Just like, oh my goodness. You know, always when we watch and somebody is really, really worshiping and doing weird things, it's like, whoa, can that be God? And we allow flesh to come in sometimes. But when we end up trying to pluck the tares every single time, then we can end up pulling out some of the good stuff too. So we have to be really careful in our judging as to how we judge, what we do, and let people worship. And we have to honor good worship. Are you with me? So when you want breakthrough, for me, my greatest breakthroughs that I have had, that I have encountered, has been in worship, in undignified worship, because I'm not a good singer, and I can't dance, but I've danced before the Lord. I can jump and twirl, and I can try to sing. I can make a joyful noise to the Lord. And he's probably the only one that gets much joy out of it. Except me. And I'm blessed when worshiping him. I feel like we have most of a worship team. There's a couple singers that are not here yet. Oh, there's one coming. Oh, you have. And Christy. So, what I really believe this morning is that I should read two more verses. Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God's not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I've described some of the peace, the incredible peace, and the joy that comes when you get touched by God. It's like, now I want to switch, go to 2 Corinthians 5:13. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. If we are beside ourselves, if we are acting completely crazy, it's for God. If we are of sound mind, it's for you. So, are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? If we are beside ourselves, doing some kind of nutty stuff, it's for God. If we're of sound mind, if we're minding our business, our P's and Q's, and not doing anything goofy or stupid to scare anybody away, that's just for you. So how about, Brad, you come up here. Expecting the kiss, weren't you?
Big one.
Wrong guy.
I know where to find it.
Yep. There it is. You know, Brad, I heard a little about this, and I called him because I wanted to hear the details. Like, tell me what happened. This is a guy that you just have to share your story. I'm going to let you hold the mic. If I need to, I'll run by and grab it really quick, get it away from you. But it's like,
sounds good.
Yeah, this is Brad.
I am kind of a new face.
And how long? Yeah, how long you been here?
I don't know. The week after Dan Moeller. I just want to say thank you. I haven't met all of you. I've met a lot of you, and I've met a lot of amazing people, loving hearts. This place has felt like home. It's been an answer to prayer for me, and then he also answered some prayers and put me in BSSM.
Yeah.
And he continues. It's actually interesting. Chris Valentine, this one of his lectures this week, he was talking about the Word of God. When you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is an invitation to reality, and the Word without the Holy Spirit is religion. And I grew up with a lot of religion.
Oh, that's good.
So this journey for Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, I started about a year ago, and God just continues to grow me and show me more and more. And so breakthrough has been something that's been on my radar. Shout out to Pastor Jamie. I was in the I'll do it someday boat. And before he was even a pastor, he was working. I met him and he's like, no, you're signing up. And tomorrow I'm texting you with an accountability text. Make sure that you did it. So I did.
Tough guy. Jamie. Yeah.
No, good guy. So, but leading up to it, Judy Franklin was sharing, I believe she's Bill Johnson's secretary. She was sharing her journey and her testimony and how she just quit going to church for a while. And then when she started going to Bethel, she didn't like people or thought she didn't like people. So she'd sneak in the back and dip out before the end of the service. And she just described her first encounter, real encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting in my room and I'm like, Lord, I want to experience that. That's awesome. Like, I believe it's real. I want to experience that. So breakthrough was Thursday. And we went through the couple hour session of praying and then did the break off and casting out all of the religious spirits and the insecurities and all that. And I was crying at the end. And as I got done crying, I don't know what happened, but I started laughing. And the more I laughed, the louder I laughed. And the next thing you know, I was jumping up and down. I don't know how to describe it, but burning from head to toe. Like your nerves burning, but my whole body. And then I couldn't stand up. And I was laying on the floor laughing. And God's amazing. And he will meet you. And it's just for all you that haven't done breakthrough, like it's not a coincidence that the Holy Spirit showed up like that the moment breakthrough ended. So I just want to encourage you, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. It can be intimidating, but I can say that Tim and Bev Fish are amazing and you're not going to regret it. And glory to God. All glory to God. It was good to be in the house of the Lord.
Don't take off.
I can't run yet.
No, not yet. So, you know, we don't need to have a lot of hype and a lot of big buildup to really jump into worship. It's like, I really believe that there is another level of breakthrough this morning. And we still got like 5 minutes left before noon. So we could be here till 5 or 10 after and end up receiving that breakthrough when you let pride break off, where you humble yourself before the Lord and you get goofy before the Lord, because we're doing this as unto God. We're not doing this for God. We're not doing it for you or me. We're going to do it for God. Are you ready for that? Are we as Valley Church ready for that? Well, then let's stand. And probably at least half of you come down to the altar. It's like we'll see some holy helicopter. We'll see some. When Pastor Matthew says, to do something that you haven't done, it's like you're doing it as unto the Lord, worshiping to an audience of one. So as we get the worship music going, I just encourage you to come on down, step out into the aisle so you're not tripping over chairs, around the back of the church where there's more room, and let's just uninhibited worship. Yes. Humble yourselves to worship him in spirit and in truth. But when you engage, here's something that I believe that you need to hear. When you engage your body, your mind, your voice, when all words, there's complete alignment and engagement, there is breakthrough. Are you with me? Then let's start spreading out, some to the back, some Clint. I need you up front. And anybody else that's ready for that next level of breakthrough, let's do it. And watch this guy. Huh? Yeah, you ready?